Okay, by quick way of review of our introductory lesson, what is the relationship of Acts to the Gospels? It's a sequel. What do we mean by that? Do what, Craig? Okay, a continuation of the gospel. So at the end of the gospels, you end with Jesus' charge to the apostles about their mission, and you find that carried out in the Acts of the Apostles. And we talked about a couple specifics of that. We listed five in the lesson, but we'll save that for another time, okay? And another question. About when was the book of Acts written? What? 150 A.D., is that right? What? All right, well, Paul, at around 61 to 63, Paul's in a Roman prison. There, Luke laid down his pen, so we know it was written about that time. We talked about that briefly in class. Okay, so who wrote the book?
Luke.
What's the design of the book of Acts? Okay, shows the apostles carrying out the mission they were given. That's how the Gospels end. That's how the book of Acts begins. The title is not original with Luke, but it's an appropriate title. Acts of Apostles as they carry out their mission. So that's what the book is about. And we'll continue to go over that in the course of our study. All right, if you have your lesson on chronology, let's turn over there and look at that in our study today. Begin in Acts chapter 12, 23. Acts chapter 12 and verse 23. Let me stop a moment before I go into the chronology. What value is it of knowing the book of Acts was written about AD 63?
That things were written as they were happening, not 100 years later.
Good. Written in the current time of the events. Not written 100 years later, 500 years later, that's right. So that's valuable, okay? All right, look at Acts 12 and verse 23. And it says, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. That's Herod died. And so this is one of our pivotal points in establishing the chronology of the book of Acts. I have on your lesson three pivotal points. This is one of them. The death of Herod, by other sources, can be dated in A.D. 44. And so you drive a stake in the ground there and you reason from this date. The second one, look at Acts chapter 18, verse 12. Acts chapter 18 and verse 12. Paul's in Corinth. And it says in verse 12, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia. That really narrows the time frame of this event because of him mentioning the fact that he was proconsul. And so this is based on an inscription found in 1909. And what's interesting, we had these other two pivotal points before that. And this one simply confirms what men had already figured out by using the data that's provided. So it's a confirming thing, and it gives you a middle stake that you can drive in the ground, and you reason backwards and forwards from that one. And then the third one is A.D. 60, and you look at Acts 24, 27. Acts chapter 24 and verse 27. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And so when Festus becomes the procurator, and that's about A.D. 60. And that's our third pivotal point that we can use and will use in the achieving of some degree of a chronology of the book of Acts. I mentioned in a previous class, I'll mention again, these dates are not hard and fast, but most men who've studied chronology will not vary from them very much. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years maybe. But they're going to be within this range. And so I put on the lesson how we arrive at the date, or how I arrived at the dates that are on your lesson. Now, that will be for your further study, because we're not going to have time in one class to go in detail about that. If you haven't looked at it and you're interested in that, you can go study that on your own time. We'll make reference to some of that as we go through it in the class today. Okay, let's begin with Acts chapter 27, verse 1. You say, why are we beginning at the end of the book? Well, we're going to start here with Acts 27, 1, and we're going to start from something we can establish and go from there. Acts 27, 1, when it decided we would set sail for Italy. So here's Paul's voyage to Rome as it begins. Okay, if you go back to chapter 20 and verse 16, you already know you cannot judge time elapsed by a number of pages. You read Genesis 1 and then you go to Genesis 6 and you have the flood, millions of people living on the earth, how many hundreds, thousands of years. It's just, based on the chronologies alone, it's about 1,650 years, but only six chapters. But then you read John 13, 14, 15, 16, four chapters. It's one evening with Christ with his apostles. So here we're back in chapter 20 and verse 16, and it says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he's hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was in the spring, and so he's trying to be in Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost. In chapter 21 and verse 17, he arrives in Jerusalem. So now he's in Jerusalem, spring of the year, and then he's arrested, chapter 23. Now, if we had time, and what is a good thing to do if you like to do that, and by the way, I don't have chapters 13 through 28 up here. If you like to mark your Bible, though, I've got chapters 1 through 12 up here on the front pew. You can get a copy to do marking with. But if you'll note here, it says like in verse 18, the following day. Then verse 26, the next day. Then verse 27, when 7 days were almost over, etc. So you've got time indicators throughout the text that you can mark and come to these conclusions. When you get over to 23:23, he called to him two of his centurions and said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night to proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. And so here we find Paul going to Caesarea, and just a few days had passed, a couple weeks maybe. And so late spring, early summer of that year, now he goes to Caesarea, and there he's 2 years in Caesarea. In chapter 24 and verse 27, where after 2 years had passed, the way this version translates it, some versions say being completed or were fulfilled, or one version says elapsed. The indication is it's a full 2 years. If it is a full 2 years, then you go back to 2016, two full years, brings you to the end of the Caesarean imprisonment and the beginning of the journey to Rome. So you start here at Acts 27:1 with AD 60, and you go back 2 years. We'll establish that other date in a little bit on the idea of 57-58 that he was in Jerusalem. And then you add 2 years, you get to AD 60. And so that's all explained there in your notes. All right, so now he takes this voyage to Rome, and you see a time note in verse 9. There's several that I don't have time to mention, but there's several time notes. But in verse 9, there's a time note about the time of the year when the fast had passed. If you have a New American Standard Version, down in the footnote, it'll tell you that this was September, October of that year. Another thing to add in your being awareness of chronology is they did not like to sail over the winter months. Remember, they didn't have big steamliners like we have today. And so they sailed, and so the storms on the sea were a critical factor. And so Paul warned them, you better not leave this haven, but they wouldn't listen to Paul. And so it's after, so this is late fall. So the journey, if this is late fall at that point, then it was early fall when he began the journey to Rome. That's what we have here on your lesson. In AD 60, he departed for Rome, and then you see down in verse 27, 14th night had come, so there's 2 weeks. And then when you get to chapter 28, they're shipwrecked on the island of Malta. But then when you get to chapter 28, verse 11, at the end of 3 months, that 3 months is that three-month winter, 60-61. So that puts him in Rome, arriving in Rome in the sometime early part of 61. And so then you get to the end of the book of Acts, verse 30. He was there 2 years. So that's how we get to 61 to 63 date. And 2 years in Rome, 61 to 63. So why should we care about that? Look here on your lesson. You see right there under that 2 years in prison, that should be AD 61 to 63. And that's when he wrote four letters. We call them the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. How do we date those? Book of Acts. That's how you date them. You know the chronology of the book of Acts, and so you can put those things in some kind of time frame. That's interesting, and it's helpful. So you see writing the book of to the Ephesians, for example, here in sometime 61 to 63. Is there another letter to the Ephesian church in your Bible?
Revelation.
In the Revelation. So depending on when the book of Revelation is dated, some dated in the 90s, I think probably predated 70. But whichever the case may be, there's a time span in there. And so let's say it was, let's just give it a date, 66, let's say. And so that would be what, 61, 63 to 66, that's not very long. And yet when you get to the book of Revelation, he says the Ephesian church were still standing strong doctrinally, but they had what? Left the first love. Doesn't take long, even if you make it in the 90s. And so by having some of these dates, that kind of helps with some of those kind of things. Okay. Now then, he's released from prison. I've got the information there. We don't have time to establish why we conclude that, but the date is right there on your lesson. I've got three reasons that indicate Paul was released and traveled from prison. And the indication are in those letters that he wrote in that first imprisonment that he expected to be released, particularly the book of Philippians. And so he's released and he travels. Now, during this period is when he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus, and then he's going to be imprisoned again, and he's going to write 2 Timothy. And so we know then that 1 Timothy is written somewhere between 63 and probably about 68. We have Paul's death down there at 68. I've given you the reasons. So, again, that's interesting. Why is that interesting to know 1 Timothy was written sometime between, say, 63 and 68? Let's say it was written, just pick a date in there, say 65, okay? Or later in the study on chronology, we're going to find that the Jerusalem meeting was about 49 or 50. That's Acts 15. And it's Acts 16 when Paul says, I want this young man to go with me. So let's say 50. So that's 15 years. But in 1 Timothy, he's called a young man. A young man. So, you know, even the Romans, although they extended it to 40s, let's say that we're talking about in the 30s, say 35, take 15 years away, you're back down to 20, maybe less. When Paul said, I want that young man to go with me. And that young man at that young age had already established a reputation among the brethren. And so that's a pretty interesting thing when you realize his father wasn't a Christian, but his mother and grandmother was, and the job they did raising this boy in an idolatrous society. So those kind of things will enlighten and enhance our Bible study. So 2 Timothy is written obviously before Paul's death, so it's written sometime probably the late 60s. Don't know what Paul's age was at that time, but we know he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin. You had to be 30 to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And that's before he became a Christian, obviously. So he obeyed the gospel in either 33 or 36. And so we're talking about 30 plus years. So how old was he when he was in prison the second time? Probably in his 60s at least, and maybe older, when he writes 2 Timothy. Writing to a young preacher. Again, those kind of things we learn by studying this information on chronology. Okay. So we did that. Now we're going to go backwards. Okay. Let's go back. We started with A.D. 60 there about the travel to Rome. And now we go back 2 years. I just referred that to you in chapter 21 and verse 16. Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem by Pentecost. In chapter 20:16 and 21:17, he arrived in Jerusalem. And then the next verse, I gave you 23 there, said he 2 years had passed. So that's how we get back to 58. Okay. You say, how did we start with 60? What was that third pivotal point? Festus became procurator. Remember that? And so you go back 2 years from that. So there's a pivotal point. You can go forward with what we did already. Now you can go backwards, and that's what we're doing now with the 2 years that are mentioned. 2 years had passed, you're 2 years in prison. So in the last part of the book of Acts, you find Paul in prison for about 5 years. We have that on your lesson as well. Okay, so we're back in 58, where he's arrested in Jerusalem, chapter 21:17. He arrives in Jerusalem. You remember there are some false accusations that are made. There's a tumult that arises. Paul tries to make a defense before the people. And if you were to go through all of this, you would see the time markers about the next day and et cetera. That is not very much time. And so in chapter 21 and verse 37. Well, let's back up to verse 34. So among the crowd, some were shouting one thing and some another. When the crowd could not find out the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And so Paul is arrested, as it were. He makes some defense, tries to make a defense before the people in chapter 22, then before the council in chapter 23. And then in chapter 24, again, tries to make a defense. And but then you get to chapter 24:27. You mentioned the 2 years. And so the arrest of Jerusalem is around 58 A.D. Okay? So we're getting some. If the second pivotal point, what was it?
Gallio.
Paul was in Corinth. Acts what chapter?
18.
So we're in 21:58. See, you got some parameters there. 50:51, chapter 18, 58, chapter 21. And then we'll look at some of this other in the book as well. Okay? So he's arrested in Jerusalem in AD 58. Okay. Now look at Acts chapter 20. So 16, he wants to make Jerusalem. He makes it 21:17, so we're back in 20, just right before that, the winter before that. Okay? Remember, Passover's in the spring, so we're talking about the winter before AD 58. So that would be the winter of 57-58. And that's what we have on your lesson here. And so the winter, 57-58. And if you look on in your Bible at verse 2, when he'd gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. What's another name for Greece?
Achaia.
What important city in your Bible is in Achaia?
Corinth.
So he gets to Corinth. When was he there? Here's when he was there. Now you look in verse 3, and after he spent 3 months. So he spent 3 months there. Well, what did he do in those 3 months? One of the things he did is write one of the great books in your New Testament, the book of Romans. That's when it was written. And so how do you date the book of Romans? Nothing in the book itself. Now, some of your Bibles will have little footnotes at the end that say this book was written in. Oftentimes, they're unreliable. Base your conclusions on data in the book of Acts. And that will be much more reliable. And so we have Paul writing the book of Romans here in this winter of 57-58. Okay? Now, Acts 20, him going down there to Greece. Go back to verse 1. After the uproar had ceased. What uproar? Anybody remember? In Ephesus. The uproar in Ephesus, chapter 19. He goes right to Macedonia, chapter 20, verse 1. And then he went through there, and then he went to Greece. So he's tracing his journey. So we back up to Ephesus. chapter 19, verse 1, Paul, pastor of the upper country, came to Ephesus. Okay, so you got one chapter. In verse 8, it says he spent 3 months trying to teach, and he wasn't having any success, so he took the disciples out, reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus. For how long, verse 2? 2 years. See, for 2 years. And so then you have these frauds who try to duplicate his miracles, and it bounces back upon them. They're ashamed, made ashamed by what happened. So what happens in verse 20? Can you state that in some other words? The word of God kept prevailing. If you were preaching somewhere and this happened and you were writing a letter to somebody, what might you say about your preaching and your opportunities? Okay, opportunity for many converts. Maybe you might say, boy, a door for preaching the gospel is open to me. That's exactly what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 16. Look over at 1 Corinthians 16. We referred to this in our class that we were talking about, the first class on the introduction, about how it's a background of the epistles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8, I'll remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effectual service has been opened to me. That's right there. And it's right after that he writes 1 Corinthians. So now we know when 1 Corinthians was written. And there are other indications in the Corinthian letter that it was probably in the spring of the year. And so we can pretty well date 1 Corinthians because it's right after this what happened. He had to leave because of this tumult in the theater. Although he wanted to stay, he couldn't stay, so he had to leave. He left. He goes down to Macedonia, then down to Greece, chapter 20. That's the winter of 57-58. So Corinth was written probably in the spring of 57. That's how we get there. We use the book of Acts and the date of the book of Acts. Okay, so that's what we have in your lesson, 1 Corinthians. And that's chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Okay, so if Paul was in Ephesus, if when we get to the leaving of Ephesus, it's in 57, and he spends the winter of 57-58 in Greece, and Paul was in Ephesus for 2.5 to 3 years, how do you date Acts 19:1? 3 years from what? 57, when he left. So we have Paul arriving in Ephesus about 54. So, well, that's interesting. Is that of any value to me? When did we say the book of Ephesus was written? The letter to the Ephesian church? 61 to 63. He arrived in Ephesus in 54. Spent the next 3 years there approximately. When you read the book of Ephesians, how long had these people been Christians? Less than 10 years. What did they come from? What kind of background? Idolatry. Steeped in idolatry. They didn't come from a Bible background. Parents going to church and knowing God. But there's a church there, and he writes to them in an Ephesian letter. Young Christians, as we would call it. First generation Christians. And so you got that time frame that Paul writes in Ephesians. You see how people can grow. You see they still had problems. He warns them about renouncing their old manner of life in chapter 4. That's needed. People make this change from the world to being a Christian. And so you know that by doing this chronology in the book of Acts. Okay. Now, look at 18:22. We're backing up. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia. Right there is the end of the second journey and the beginning of the third. That's the beginning of the third journey. So you got three preaching journeys, and this is the beginning of the third one. All of them began at Antioch. Okay? So, we have here on your lesson, AD 53, because he arrived in Ephesus in 54, likely did not travel over the seas in the winter. And so we got back in AD 53, the end of the third journey, likely spent the winter, and then went to Ephesus. Okay? Since he'd had to either go over land or sea, and if he went over sea, it was not likely to be in the winter time. Okay. Now, so the second part on your lesson, beginning of the third journey, would be AD 53 or 54. Okay, so is that helpful? All right, if he began the third journey in AD 53, 54, when did he arrive in Jerusalem and was arrested? You got it there, or you just wrote it down a while ago. 58, right? So now you know how long the third journey was. You know when these books were written. At least an approximate time frame of those books. So now you can put a handle on how much time we're looking at when we talk about the events from Acts 18:23 to Acts chapter 21:17. Actually, 21:17 when he arrived in Jerusalem. Okay, so that's how we arrive at that. Okay, now back up to Acts 18 again. This time, look at verse 11. He settled there a year and 6 months. Where is he at? Look at verse 1. Where is he at? Corinth. He spends a year and a half there. And note who's proconsul, verse 12. So if Acts 18:23 is 53, even if we didn't know about Gallio and he spent a year and a half in Corinth, we'd know that had to be somewhere around 51, 52. And sure enough, they find the coin that confirms it perfectly. So you have the third pivotal point, Festus, that we started with in AD 60. And now by using the time indicators in the book of Acts, we're perfectly in harmony with the second pivotal point when Gallio is proconsul. So Paul is in Corinth, AD 51 to 53. When did he write the First Corinthian letter? We just wrote it down.
54.
No? 57. 57. So what, 4 or 5 years later? Now, when he writes 4 or 5 years later, he spent a year and a half there teaching. He writes to this church 5 years later. What does he call them in chapter 3? Do you remember? Carnal. They're still babies. 5 years later. And a year and a half of teaching by the apostle. Isn't that interesting? And the Second Corinthian letter is written 3 to 6 months later in the same year. Indications are 57. Summer or fall of 57. So all of that interesting as you study these books and you see the admonitions and the warnings that Paul's dealing with. So is that helpful to you? It's helpful to you as a teacher. You teach and you teach and you teach and you say, man, people aren't growing. Well, what's new? You work with the church, you work with the church, and they're still spiritual babies. Yeah, well, what's new? See? And that's what you see in Korea. There's division in the church. There's all kind of problems there. So he writes the First Corinthian letter. There's some changes that are made. He writes the Second Corinthian letter. He's happy about those changes. But there's still big problems there when you read the Second Corinthian letter. When he writes 3 to 6 months later. Okay. All right, so in Acts 18, 1, this trip to Corinth, we've got we've got him in Corinth there somewhere in the time period, 51 to 53. Now, that's when 1 and 2 Thessalonians was written. And so, how do you know? It doesn't say that. Well, you know that these books were written at that time by the internal evidences in the books. I failed to mention that. And that's a very interesting study. The information in the books point to the fact that they were written during this particular time in Paul's work. But we don't have time to look at that, and that's actually a study, if you were to do that, on 13 through 28. Okay, so that's when 1 and 2 Thessalonians was written, some of the earliest letters that we have. Don't know when the Galatian letter was written, may have been earlier. We don't know exactly when the Galatian letter was written. I don't, at least. Okay. So, You get back to Acts chapter 16, verse 1. You'll note right at the bottom of the page, I said Paul's arrival in Corinth, 18:1. From this we must conjecture, there is some conjecture involved, approximately a year or 2 years for the events of Acts 15:36 through 18:1. And most of all who study these events will come pretty close to that figure. We can't go back too far because we've got 44, Herod's death, and Acts 12. And we've got another preaching journey in between there. And so that's going to be pretty close. So when you read Acts 15:36, after some days Paul said to Barnabas, let's return. And so he proposes to Barnabas a second preaching journey. Remember they had a falling out, so Paul takes Silas. And you start with that journey right at the end of chapter 15, verse 41. And so now you get to Acts 16. And so the Jerusalem meeting was about 49 or 50 A.D. So if the Jerusalem meeting was 49, 50 A.D., if the church was established in 30 A.D., 20 years have passed. Well, what's the problem in Jerusalem? Well, what's all this meeting about? What's it about?
If the Gentiles had to be circumcised.
Well, the Gentiles had to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses. You mean they couldn't get that ironed out in 20 years? They couldn't get everybody convinced on that in 20 years? No, there's teachers that are teaching that. And so that's chapter 15. And so then Paul starts on his second preaching journey. Well, if you start on his second preaching journey, about AD 50, when did he end it? We just looked at that. When did he end it? You got it right there on your lesson. 53. Acts 18, 22, 23. About 53. So you got about 3 years for the second preaching journey. Approximately. Okay? So as you read these events, you know you're in some time frame of AD 50, 53. Okay, what happened at the beginning of this preaching journey? Where's one of the significant places, chapter 16, he went. What city? What happened in chapter 16 that you used to teach people?
Macedonia. Philippian jailer.
Philippian jailer. He went to Philippi. Found Lydia in her household, taught him the gospel. A church began in Philippi. Now you know about when it happened. Right? Now, so that's somewhere around 50. 51, right in that time frame. When was the Philippian letter written? 61 to 63. Say 12 years later. In contrast to the Corinthian letter, what did he talk about the Philippian letter? About those people. Huh? They're joy in his crown. He's so proud of them. Tell them, rejoice in the Lord. There's nothing negative. There's a hint of the need to be less selfish and be considerate of others. But unlike the Corinthian letter and the Galatian letter and some of these other letters, there's no reproof about doctrine or life, moral condition. Look at the difference in the Philippian church. And what did this church begin to do immediately when Paul left there? From Philippian letter chapter 4.
Support him.
Began to support him. Right away. Isn't that interesting? And so Paul talks about that in his letter from prison, in the Philippian letter. So that's how we get to that date. It kind of puts all those things in perspective as you read those letters. Okay. So we've dated the Jerusalem meeting right at the bottom of your page, 49 or 50 A.D. Now, jump back to Acts chapter 9. You say, why are we jumping to Acts 9 from Acts 15? Okay, hold your finger at Acts 9 and go to Galatians 1. We'll show why. And I have this on your lesson. Acts 9 records the conversion of Paul. Acts 1, verse 13 through 17, he talks about his conversion. Okay? But then he said, verse 18, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. And then in chapter 2:1, after an interval of 14 years. Now here's where it becomes tricky as to how you compute these 17 years. Some add them together and make 17 years. Now the chapter 2:1 is his trip to Jerusalem, Acts 15. So if the two times are to be added together and the Jerusalem meeting that he's talking about in Galatians 2 happened in AD 50, when was Paul converted? 33. But if the 14 is not to be added to the 13, and it's 14 inclusive of that, when was Paul converted? 36. And there are other indications that 36 is probably the better date. But anyway, 33, 36, when Paul was converted. So now you got Acts 9, and you got it from a statement he makes in the Galatian letter. And we did it by going all the way back to the Jerusalem meeting, establishing that, going back to that. So now you have some idea. Now, so when was the church established? About AD 30. So 3 to 6 years later, Paul becomes a Christian. So that tells you something else. In Acts chapter 8, Paul and Saul then has this great persecution against this church, and the church is scattered. Right? So when the church is scattered, this is all before the conversion of Paul. When the brethren went out, what did they start doing?
Teaching.
Preaching. Preaching the word, it says, Acts 8:4. You got a time frame. Within 3 to 6 years, the church of Jerusalem had such an intensive teaching program that they took people and trained them sufficiently that they were able to go out and talk with their neighbors and their friends, and churches began to spring up all over the place. That's what a local church is about. Teaching, teaching, teaching. But you got a time frame now. And you do it by looking at the chronology here in the book of Acts. All right, look at Acts 9:26. When he came to Jerusalem. We just read in Galatians 1, how many years after his conversion before he went to Jerusalem? What did he say in Galatians 1? 3 years. 3 years. So depending on how you take the 3 and the 14... That's why I have an option here. Either 36 or 39, he goes to Jerusalem and wants to join the church there. And in between that is his time in Arabia. Okay. And so now, we go to Acts 12:23. How do we date that? What's the date for that? Herod's death, when is that? 44. Okay, 44. And I have some notes there on your lesson that we're not going to have time to look at about Luke's method of writing. Luke doesn't always write everything chronologically. Moses didn't. A lot of writers didn't. They write in order of thought. Luke will introduce a thread, he'll develop that thread, then he'll go back and pick something up. He introduced, for example, the church being divided over the persecution of Saul in Acts 8. Then he writes about Philip going to Samaria, and then he writes about the conversion of Cornelius, and then back in 11:19, he's back in about the church being spread abroad in Acts 11:19. He does not always write in chronological order, so be prepared for that when you read the book of Acts. And so, anyway, when we get to chapter 13:1, the beginning of the first preaching journey, right after Herod's death, somewhere around AD 45. Well, now that's interesting. When did the first preaching journey end? About 5 years later at the outside, because Jerusalem meeting chapter 15 is in 50. So he takes off on this preaching journey, goes to the outward extremities and starts coming back. What does he do on the way back? Acts 14:23, what does he do? Appointed elders in every church in a span of 5 years or less from the time the churches were established. Is there something wrong with our concepts about appointing elders? Was it because these men had spiritual gifts? I don't know about that. Spiritual gifts doesn't necessarily qualify you one to be an elder. You've got to have character. Many of these early Christians were Jews who had already had a knowledge of God and His Word. Maybe that accounts for it. But it's interesting that in such a short time, they were establishing elders in the churches as they went back through this area. Now let's go back to chapter 11, verse 25. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and they stayed there an entire year teaching the church in Antioch. So if they took off on this journey in chapter 13, and that's about AD 45, we have Paul and Barnabas in the city of Antioch of Syria, somewhere around 43, 44 AD. What that goes there. Okay. And then we have this pre AD 33 to 36, the dispersion. AD 30, approximate establishment of the church, not only based on the things in Acts, but the birth of Christ and His age. You can also get data from the Gospels to further confirm that date. I know that for years it was said AD 33. That's based on the fact that Christ was born in what we call AD 1. The indication is already born in AD 4 to 6. That's why that needs to be revised. So church was established probably around AD 29 or 30, somewhere along there. And then the rest of the dates you can put in place there. So the first Gospel was preached, including the resurrection of Christ, and people were encouraged to be baptized in His name with faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. One final comment. Our time just about up. Note this last thing on your chart, Peter's visit to Caesarea and the conversion of Cornelius. I used to date this differently than I do now. I revised my thinking about the chronology of the circumstance in chapters 10 and 11. It's not critical. I used to think it happened chronologically like Luke wrote it. I do not now. I rather favor the idea it probably preceded Philip's preaching in Samaria, although it's written afterwards. The date is there. You can look at it. I know I didn't put many details because it wasn't critical to our study, and it's a study in itself. But it's possible that this preceded the events of chapter 8, as you see in the last paragraph. And so that would push the conversion of Cornelius to before Philip's preaching in Samaria, which would explain why people weren't upset when they heard about Philip preaching to Samaritans, which were not Jews. Anyway, our time is up. Thank you. I know that was a pretty fast run through, but if you're interested in it, you can study it further. The next class will get to chapter 1. Thank you.